Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask God that you will enable us to understand you more today, that as we read your scriptures, that our minds will be illuminated to your deep truth. God, some of us have heavy hearts. I ask, oh God, that you will fill us with your peace, that you will allow us to discover peace here, even this very morning. Fill us with your joy and your hope. God, allow us to be a people that are surrendered to you and committed to you. And Lord, allow us to be light. Amen. You've heard the expression, God is love, right? Well, there's also an expression in the scriptures that's not often talked about as much, and it's God is light. So God is light. And did you know that there is a physical disorder called, it's actually called SAD, but it's seasonal affective disorder. Have you heard of that? It is caused by a lack of exposure to sunlight, which in turn alters a person's brain chemistry. During the fall and winter months, the hours of daylight are shorter, and there's less time for light to shine in and to allow people to feel joy. So during the fall and winter months, when the hours of daylight are shorter, less light passes through the eyes, which then inhibits the release of an important brain chemical, serotonin. When serotonin is not released in sufficient quantities, systems of depression may occur. Melatonin, another important brain chemical, which regulates our sleep cycle, is released in greater quantities, adding to the depressive state. How is seasonal affective disorder treated? The standard treatment for this disorder is light therapy. In fact, it is the primary treatment recommended by the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association. And it is also backed by extensive medical research through the prestigious National Institute of Mental Health. The principle behind light therapy is that by increasing a person's exposure to normal levels and lessens or removes the symptoms of SAD. The advantage of light therapy are that it is simple to administer, requiring no medication, and has minimal side effects. Although SAD only affects a few of us, about 1 in 5 in the United States, it can have profound effect on the lives of the people that it affects. So maybe you're one of the 1 in 5 that suffers from SAD, and maybe you feel sad during the winter months when light isn't as much. I would say that in our country, in our culture, particularly in the United States culture, we have gotten so caught up with everything that's all around us, all the things that we are exposed to, that we have forgotten to look into the real light. We talk about and think about the light that's the external light and even the lights in the house, but we've forgotten about the true light. We have forgotten about the light of the world. And due to that, we don't have the real hope that we can have and the real hope that gives us light and gives us peace and gives us joy and allows us to connect deeply with a God that loves us with deep passion. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John. It's toward the back of the Bible. So open your Bible toward the back and you'll find it. So 1 John, I'm going to have it on the screen as well. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to break down the scripture kind of verse by verse in many ways. So it's going to be a little different, but we're going to talk through this passage of scripture and hack through it a little bit. That which was from the beginning, which we have which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Do you know in John, the book of John, because John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are all written very similar. So it's written by the Apostle John. And this particular text was written in about toward the end of John's life, in about somewhere between the time span of 85 to 90 AD. And John actually began to follow Christ in about 28 to 30 AD. And this particular text and the entire 1 John is often reflected on by many scholars as a rebut to a common belief system that was in practice during this time period. And it was a belief system that was corrupting the church. So John's text here in 1 John is seemingly his thoughts are almost, there'll be a thought on two sentences, and then a completely different thought in the next two sentences, and then a completely different thought. So if you have ADHD or attention deficit or whatever, this may be a great text for us to go through with you. And it is one that speaks words of life and light and hope and salvation, and it is a text that enables us to understand and comprehend the deep, beautiful truths that God is for us. So, right here in this text, notice that it says, that which was formed in what was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen. You hear it? Which we have heard, which we have seen. And then, you know, I've seen, we've seen, our. You see, this is something that they actually saw. They walked with God. They talked with God. They saw him. They were able to spend time with Jesus. And he is the Word. And in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So we've got the Word, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So he's made his dwelling among us. So the Word, and John was able to connect deeply with the Word, who is Jesus. And so what does in the beginning mean? Well, in the Septuagint, in Habakkuk, and in Malachi, we find the text talking about in the beginning. And then in the scriptures in Genesis, we see in the beginning God created, right? So it's not talking about the beginning of Jesus' life. It's talking about the beginning of all creation, the beginning, in the beginning. He's talking even before that beginning, in the beginning, because God began before we even were thought of, right? God began before the world was created. And Jesus is eternal. So in the beginning, that which was from the beginning, that's Jesus. He was from the beginning. And then the life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So this eternal life has appeared to us. And the next part of this text here, it says in 3 through 4, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. In our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So we write this to make our joy complete. And you see, the writer of this text, John, wanted to have deep fellowship with those that were in this community of faith. And it was likely this text was actually written to various churches in the region that were struggling with different things, just like Paul would write a lot of his letters for the churches that would struggle through things, and the people that were in pain and hurt and even doing things they weren't supposed to do, and he would hold them accountable. Well, John wrote this text, and he wrote it to churches that were struggling with various systems of thought that were turning them away from God and turning them toward themselves. So due to those systems of thought, he was trying to get them back to Christ and the foundation and the roots. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, do we think that John's joy wasn't complete? John had much joy. He walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, walked with the other apostles, spent time with them. But what he's saying is, hey, you know what? I wanna do this. I want you to be in on this because it'll allow me to have more joy. It'll allow me to have more complete joy. Have you ever cared about people and maybe they didn't realize how much you cared? Has that ever happened with you? And then you wanted to pour out how much you cared, and you tried to do that, but maybe they had a deaf ear to it. Has that ever happened to you? Well, there's this fellowship that happens. And fellowship, we often say fellowship, and we're talking about eating food together. Well, fellowship is when brothers and sisters come together and talk about stuff that matters, like talk about Christ and grow in the faith and grow in wisdom and knowledge of God. Well, that's the fellowship that this is talking about. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a community right there, right? God created himself to be in community. Why do we often step away and away from community and think, that's cool, I can do this on my own, right? God's in community. Why should we be any different? God's in connection with himself in different ways. Kind of unique. And he has his own community and he's in fellowship, constantly in fellowship. And then we read this next portion of the text, 1 John 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, right? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. All right. How many of you would say you're in Christ? You don't have to raise your hand, but just, you can raise your hand. You can stand up. You can say, hallelujah. You can do whatever you want to do. But God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. All right. If you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, if you claim to be in Christ, some of you threw your hands up right away. Others of you are like, yeah, I don't know if I want to put my hand. I don't know. But if you're in Christ, there's no darkness. Now, you may say this. All right, I'm in Christ, but sometimes I feel and sense darkness upon my life. Why is that? Why do I sense darkness upon my life at times? When the text is clear and says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. All right. In him. Do you get that? In him. It means we need to daily be in him. I think a lot of times when we experience darkness in our lives, it's because we're not in him that day. We've departed from him that day. He's always in us. We always have Christ and the Spirit's in us. It's a matter of us actually recognizing that and saying, all right, Lord, I know you're in me. I know your hope is in me. I ask God that you will pour out your Spirit more wholeheartedly so I can experience and connect with you more deeply. And do people have clinical depression that are believers? Yes, that can happen. But God is light. So the darkness that is experienced in this life, Christ can overcome the darkness. Do we believe that today? That this darkness that comes upon us at times, that we can put our hope in Christ and he can fill us and give us light in the midst of darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. I think sadly, a number of us in here have sin issues that we have not turned over to God, that we have not surrendered to God, that we have not said, all right, God, I give this to you, I'm going to repent. And repentance means an about face, a complete turning of the direction we were going and going the opposite direction from that. So the sin that we wrestle with in our life that we often disregard, we need to make sure and do a reality check and say, I am a sinner and I need to turn from that sin and I need to turn to the light because I've been living in darkness. All right? So there's this about face, forward march, this turn, this 180 that occurs when we truly follow God. And yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Did everybody hear that and read that together? Let's read that last section together when it says, but. All right, ready? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If you're in sin and you've received Christ, the blood of Jesus has purified you from all sin. All that past junk and debris, you are now purified and you're made whole. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace now covers us. The sin and the junk from the past no longer should hold us hostage and captive. Why do we let it? We need to discover the freedom that is in Christ. A lot of times we live enslaved and entrapped to our corruption of the past, and we can't get away. There's this action of surrender, turning over, committing ourselves fully to God. And when we do that, we discover light. Because light exposes darkness, right? Light exposes sin. What do lighthouses do? They shine bright and they allow the ships not to crash upon the rocks, right? That's what the light does for us. That's what Christ does for us. His light shines out so we will not crash and burn. Have you ever been to an airport? There's a light that they shine on the runways when the plane is to come, right? They have the flashing lights and they direct the planes. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of crashing that takes place, right? So they use light to show the way. Christ is the light. He is the way. Next, in 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin. Ready for this? If we claim to be without sin. Claim to be without sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. I have met people that say they're good people, and they're not sinful. Have you ever met anybody like that? Someone just started quoting it. We all fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, not even one. None is right with God. The reason why we're not right with God is because we're sinners. About a year ago, I think it was Dateline or something, did a little documentary, and I believe Alana actually posted it on Facebook the other day. This man has come out and he has said that he is the Christ incarnate. That he is living and walking among us. That he's the Antichrist, all right? But anti doesn't mean against God. He said it's been a misinterpretation. And he's now having his followers, are you ready for this? Tattoo 666 on their bodies. And he's saying he is the Christ. So, I wonder, people, are you ready? Are so dumb. We have become a society that doesn't know truth. And we're looking for truth. When someone says there's no such thing as sin, we want to follow that someone, even if they want us to tattoo 666 on our body. Right? So he says there's no such thing as sin, that we're all our own people. And he said, are you ready for this? He points to himself and says, I am the way, I am the truth. Right? Now that in and of itself, wouldn't you like that? Right? Lightning bolt or something to strike? But I don't know why God doesn't do it. There's all sorts of reasons we can come up with. But there are people that are deceiving. The spirit of the Antichrist is prevalent and evident in our day. There are all sorts of, I got into dialogue with a buddy last night about all the different things, all the corruptions that are going on within the evangelical church right now. A lot of leaders are falling. And it's really sad. There's a lot of corruption going on. There's a lot of destruction of the church. And God is starting to refine the church in some significant ways. And there's a separation going on right now. We are to live in the world and not of the world. We are to be lights in a world that is dark. We are no better than anybody in the world, but we may know Jesus, which enables us to understand light and this concept of light. All of us have been in a room that was dark and we tried to walk through the room. And I'm sure a number of us have stubbed our toes. But when that light is turned on, we can see clearly, right? And we can avoid all those obstacles. When God is in our lives, his light shines clearly and we can avoid the obstacles that hinder us and the sin that corrupts us. I wonder, is the light shining in our life? Do we truly have light? Have we come to a place where we've said that we are not sinners anymore? Have we fully arrived at sanctification? Sanctification is the pursuit of holiness, but have we said that we can have 100% sanctification? There are some Christian circles that believe that, and there are brothers and sisters that are strong believers. You may believe that you can be fully sanctified in this life. I'm not sure where you stand on that. But what I want us all to realize and recognize that should be our pursuit. Our pursuit should be holiness. Our pursuit should be righteousness. Unfortunately, a lot of times our pursuit is monetary gain. Our pursuit is just surviving, getting through day by day. And we forget that God is able to enable us to persevere and endure with his strength and his power. There's a section of the text I want to talk about. God is light, in verse 5, reflects an Old Testament background where light symbolizes both knowledge and purity. All of John's writings flow from the reality of God in his spiritual perfection, moral excellence, and utter transcendence. His light, this will be evident in our lives. Because all of it flows from his light. His light allows this beauty to overflow in us. When was the last time someone came up to you and said, I appreciate you. You've made a difference in my life. You know what? I see something in you that I haven't seen in anybody else. I asked Patty to come share this morning. Come on up, Patty.
through this whole thing because I'm so overjoyed with happiness today. Our family, my husband and my son and our big chocolate lab dog and our little kitty, we live in a very, very tiny one-bedroom apartment. And it's just really been a nightmare. My son has been sleeping on the futon in the living room for the past year, and he doesn't complain one bit. So for the last year or so, every day, I've been praying that God will help us find a place to live. And I knew that it might take time. God doesn't just answer our prayers the minute we ask for something. I knew that it was going to be in his time and his will. So this week, I was looking on Craigslist, and we went to look at a place this Wednesday, and we got the house. It's a big, beautiful house with everything I asked for, and I'm just so overjoyed to know that, you know, God heard my prayers all this time. I just am so happy, and I wanted to get up here and tell everybody how thankful I am to God. He does answer your prayers. It's not overnight all the time. You have to wait, and you have to be patient. And God is just wonderful. He's there for me in the darkness. I do have a lot of dark days, but through him, he gets me through it. He really, really gets me through it. I'm just so thankful for this community, and I'm so thankful for God in my life.
Yeah. Patty, can you share a little bit of your story with us? Can you share how you came to faith, what God did, and how he led you?
Yeah, a lot of you know the story, but I love to share it. My son, who was living in California, we were separated from each other for a long, long time. We finally got him to the Cape to live with us, which in itself was another prayer answered. He kept my son safe in California. But he went to church in California, and I asked him if he would still like to continue to go to church when he came to the Cape, and he said yes. So I said, all right, well, I don't go to church, so I don't know where to start, but we'll go church hopping. But my nephew Kenny said, I know of a really nice little church. Why don't you come and see how it is? And I said, all right, well, I'll come. I'll sit with James for maybe two Sundays, and then I'll leave him and go home. But from the very first day I stepped into this church, the community of faith here and the people here are so loving and friendly, and they really just made me and my son feel so at home here that I just kept on coming and coming and coming and coming. And then I joined the ladies' Tuesday Bible study, which has been another prayer answered for me. The women there are just absolutely wonderful. They're there for you. We're there for each other. They're so knowledgeable. I have learned so much from them, not only about God and Jesus, but I've learned a lot about myself. And I've learned a lot about myself since the very first day I've come here. I've realized that for a lot of years, I thought, you know, I want to go back to church. I really need to go back to church. And I'd go maybe once or twice. I'd pick up the Bible. For a few days, I'd read it. I'd pray for a couple weeks, and it was good. And then I would just let it go. I wouldn't pick it up again. And things weren't so good when I did that. But ever since that day when I came here over a year ago, things have been a lot better inside myself. I'm just so overjoyed to be on this journey to learn more about Christ and to learn more about God and to learn more about myself. And every day is like a new adventure. It really is. When you're following God, it's like an adventure. And I'm not going to stop.
Amen.